Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is March 16th, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have an author of several books and other ventures as well. His name is K.L. Belbin, and we'll hear from him in just a few minutes. Before we do that, we're going to go ahead and welcome my co-host, Boyd, to the show.
Thanks, everybody, for coming and listening to the show, as always. Just want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I want to just ask everybody to take a few minutes, for a moment of silence. You know, I lost my father today, and we just want to pay a moment of silence for that right for a minute. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for that. And without further ado, we'll pass the mic over to our guest, if our guest is online.
No, it's not our guest. Our guest hasn't called in yet tonight, so what we're going to go ahead and do is we do have one caller, which is, I believe, Yolanda. And I believe we'll have a couple more callers here in a minute. We're just going to kind of open up the mic tonight for just a little bit. If our caller doesn't call in, we may cancel the show here shorter tonight. But we're going to open the mic tonight and, just talk about whatever anyone wants to talk about. We do, of course, want to give our condolences to Rob and all of Rob's family for the death of his father today. And we wish them lots of comfort and peace. And we would also like to wish my 3-year-old grandson a happy birthday. He's had lots of fun out and about today. And we do want to remind everybody that we have both of our books out, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and also Never Hit a Woman. And we will we have both those books for sale on our website. You can get all the information there. You can get the e-books or the hardcovers on either one of them. And with that, let me go ahead and Yolanda, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Lucinda. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Welcome to the show again.
Hey,
how are you tonight?
Thank you. I'm great. How are you? Just so glad to talk to you. I was really looking forward to this and hearing the story. Your shows are really good, and thank you for passing information on about Rob's father. And Rob, thank you for sharing the information. I was looking your dad up, and I was like, well, he had written 66 books. And I was just
wow,
that's just so amazing.
Right.
And he has several books and several, written papers and just amazing, amazing stories.
People never knew about my past when it came to my father, Miss Yolanda, because like I, stated in my book that you read, The Streets Don't Love You Back, my father, wasn't around that much, My stepfather raised me when I was 9 until he got married, But now, since my father has passed, me and him was able to sit at the table, and bury the hatchet with all of that, And now I just thank God that I was ready to not only receive the blessing of having, having him as my father and having a lot of ground for me to stand on when it comes to what's right and what's real, You know what I mean? So I really respect my father for that, you know, at his work he did to help others and the work he did to leave a strong foundation and a strong legacy on earth right here, you know? So it's
absolutely
up to me as Junior to step up to the plate and make people aware of my father's history. You know, my father, he did things with Martin Luther King's family. He, you know, a lot of the times donated money to his marches. So he did things with Rosa Parks and all kind of people. You know what I mean? Bob Hope, Ozzie Davis, you name those on and on. So now this is what people learn about where my family history come from, you know, and it shakes people up because they be like, wow, I never would have dreamed of that, man, because you come from a street lifestyle, you know, I would have never known that was your father, you know, so since my father has passed, you know, today, it's been amazing how people sent me a message and said, man, I would have never dreamed that. You know, you come from a man like this. You know what I mean? I mean, my father had his faults. Yeah, he had his faults and his misunderstanding. But he did leave a strong legacy, and he left me some straight up to stand on with his wisdom because he's a very brilliant man, you know?
Yes, indeed. That's wonderful. And, you know, and it's good when you get to this point in life. I remember, because it made me think, you know, only because it's just been, my father passed March 6th of last year. And, you know, before that, his parents, they had lived, you know, they were married 64 years and they passed within 3 years of each other. And then he was sick and so on. And my brothers, they had kept their distance for a while just because, you know, like everyone else, he had his faults. He struggled with alcohol, even with the bodybuilding and all that stuff he did. And but you know, it was so great to see that when he was down and out, he said, "You all, you know, I don't expect you to be around, and you know, and I don't expect you all to do anything for me. I understand I don't deserve, and this, that, and the other." And all of us, you know, we took turns. And when I would hear my brother say that, you know, man, I went down to see Dad today, and we had a good time. You know, we were talking about this and that, and he remembered this and that, and you know, that made his life so, I felt like he was so at peace and he was really so happy when, you know, knowing his condition and he had passed, when they told him he was in fourth stage of cancer, they thought he was going to pass in October of that year, but he lived 6 months on hospice, you know, and it's just to hear the joy and to see everybody heal. And, you know, and at this point in life, if we didn't, no matter what he did, if we didn't get it by now to do something, to pick up our own bootstraps and learn something and do something for ourselves, you can't blame anybody for your life, for your pain, you know, or anything, because it doesn't matter anyway. Because he, you know, he would, like, bring up, oh, I know you probably remember. I said, Dad, I remember that, but I don't even care about that. It doesn't even mean anything to me, what you could do, didn't do. You can't go back and change anything, and why would you try, you know?
Before. Right.
And I think a lot of times, too, even though there's a lot of anger involved and sometimes, you know, we get mad at our parents or our parents get mad at us, and some people can go for years without talking and without having a relationship, but I think in the end there's that common bond that family has that you still love them no matter what, and in the end you find a way to forgive them because they are your family and because you do really love them. You know, you were so angry because you were so hurt because you loved them. You know, and I think, you know, and Ren Rob went through that, you know, as a teenager growing up out in the streets. He was very angry at his father. And, you know, he could sit with his friends and his homies watching TV, and his dad was a reverend in Detroit. He had a TV show and a broadcast, and people were like, hey, that dude has the same name as you. And Rob was like, yeah, nobody ever knew that was his father. And he never told anybody. They just thought that his stepfather was his father. And, you know, to Rob back then, he was. But, you know, as we do grow older and we learn and we grow, we learn to appreciate and to love those people that have, you know, been a part of our lives, especially, you know, our parents and our brothers and sisters. We do have some more callers on the line, and I want to go ahead and get them on. We just kind of tonight, we're just opening up the lines to whoever wants to call in and chat with us.
Yeah.
Right.
We appreciate
so,
tonight. You know,
we are
definitely helpful.
Can go to the next caller. The last four digits of the number is 5176. Welcome to the show. Hello. Oh, they hung up. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 0598. You're on the air.
Hey, y'all. It's Lisa. What's good? No.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up?
Man, you already know, 1130. I wasn't even on Facebook for like the last 6 hours, but I knew what I had to do at 1130. I got in the shower at 5 minutes to 11, talking to everybody like, no, I got to get in the shower and get on this show. Rob, first of all, my condolences.
Yes.
My condolences.
Thanks,
like, for real. I know what you're going through, and it wasn't even about my father. It wasn't about my mother, but it was about my grandmother.
Amen.
It was about my grandmother. 15 years. I know you hurt. And guess what?
Loss is loss.
You will never get over it. Like, time heals all wounds. Yes.
Right, no doubt. You know, in my case, to be honest with you, Ms. Lisa, in my case, you know, I just really thank God that me and my father had a chance to talk, and, you know, I had the chance to hear him tell me he was sorry, and I had to hear him, you know, tell me that he loved me. So right there, I've always wanted to hear that as a kid. So hearing that in my 40s from my father, you know, that was a blessing to me, you feel me? So it was like, now in my life that my father has passed, now it's up to me to take the legacy and take it to a whole another level, you know. So I look at all the great things my father did, despite his faults in life, you know, because a lot of his ways is my ways, you know what I mean? I didn't even know my father was really an author or all these amazing things and amazing people he was around until I got really older. Because when I was younger, I didn't want to hear my mother tell me nothing about him, you know what I mean? But I lost and missed out on a lot growing up dealing with his life as well. So, you know, it's just a blessing that we had a chance to, you know, break that ice, you know?
Mm-hmm. I feel you, sweetheart. I feel you. Unfortunately, I lost my father 2 weeks before my 18th birthday. Yeah, he was 41 years old.
Oh, okay, you know, I hate to hear that, you know. And
I might have to call him from my, okay, can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah,
okay.
We can hear you.
It's my house phone. But I gotta give props up on some real thing, Rob, to the fathers that do hold it down. And I could talk about my brothers. I could talk about my brother Sal, my brother Haas, and I could give you some real straight talk about Bambito, because that's my homeboy. And
right.
I just, like I said, he relocated down here to the A and from Illinois, brought three of his kids. Now the other three and the wife coming. And he doing this all on himself. And when I talk about Bam, like, I got mad love and respect for him. And I asked him to call into the show tonight because I want to show props where props is due. Because a lot of fathers aren't bad, but, you know, you get all the females talking about the Davy Dazes. I got two of them, but I don't care because I did my girls on my own. But when your father went to sleep, he didn't pass. He just went to sleep, and he went out.
Right.
That's how I'm going to put it to you. He just went out, like Powder did. He went out.
No doubt.
Okay.
You know, like I said, you know, I'm glad that I had a chance to see him, you know what I mean? And then I had a chance to see him when he passed today, you know what I mean? So, you know, God don't make no mistakes. And, you know, really, like my mother been trying to tell me since I was a kid born in this world, you know, that you have to stop being so angry, son. You got to listen to me on certain pages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, like I said, understand that until I got much, 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 much older. You know what I mean? And now it's like, you know, I look and then, you know, around, and now, you know, I inherited my father's book. So that's like that's, you know, I'm like blown away with that, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, wow, you know what I mean? Here go a man who's, this is 66 books of history, you know what I mean? Of his journey, you know? He's been in the ministry since he was a teenager. You know, my father was not in the street world or none of that. You know what I mean? He never smoked, drank, none of that, or my mother. So it's like when I get to reading all these different chapters, I know I'm already, God done already prepared me for a long walk, you know, because it's just so unreal, you know what I mean? That now I'm faced with boom, you know, this is a legacy you must carry, you know?
Exactly. And that's something that a lot of kids these days don't understand. Their fathers don't tell them shit just to talk shit. You know what I'm saying? We tell the kids, and I was mother and father to both my kids, just like Bam is to his kids, like my brothers is to their kids. Like, we don't talk to our kids just to breathe and just speak it, because we've been through it and we know. So we're taking this journey, we're trying to educate you. We're trying to tell you something about the streets. We've been in the streets. We know what it's like. So at the end of the day, we're trying to keep you from out of the jail or under it. And I think I'm so happy. Like, I feel so proud of you that you got that time with your father and got to have that closing with him. There are so many kids. Shoot, there's so many parents out of shit. I'm going to say it like that. There's so many parents that don't get to see their kids raised. They don't get to raise their kids because they out in the streets. They gangbanging. They getting shot. They getting in drive-bys. They doing all that.
Right.
They doing all that, and that's what we can't have no more, because like the title of the show, the streets don't love you back.
Hey, that's real talk, you know? Hey,
we don't get to see our kids grow up. We don't get to see our kids grow up. Like, there's kids on my block. Every day I'm getting calls from Newark about this one, that one. Newark straight off the hook. Camden, Trenton, all of them. And then Christy going to step in there and cut the cops. What?
Right. Like I said, I just thank God, you know, that, I had a chance to really, see what was happening and the things that, you know, my father told me. You know, I'm always remember that, you know what I mean, the conversations we did have sitting at the round table, you know what I mean, because he was definitely not a fool, you know what I mean. But he had his moments in life of mistakes, like we all do, but a very brilliant man, you know. So I'm truly looking forward to reading a lot of my father's manuscripts from 1 to 66.
That's what's up. That's what's really up. Like you said, you got something. You got a legacy left behind. A lot of us didn't.
Right. And that's what my mission is in life, you know what I mean, to educate these brothers and sisters that, you know, when your children is born in this world, you know, if you any type of person that want something out of life, it's good to work and things like that, but in life you also got to work towards a foundation, you know what I mean, that's going to be solid, that somebody can carry your legacy on, you know what I mean, because at the end of the day, it's all about what did you do to contribute to, you know what I mean, society when you was on earth, you know. That's basically what it's about. And I'm glad I got the mind and thinking pattern like my father, because, you know, now, and with the help of my missus, you know, I got a lot to show for my existence in life, and especially with the Streets Don't Love You Back book, you know. First book out the gate was out of the Afro-American History Museum. So, yeah, I'm just real proud of the foundation that's been laid, you know, and I done laid another one.
Well, we always got to shout at Lucinda. That's our heart right there. Lucinda, you, like, for real. I didn't know y'all, and then we all got connected, and I thank God for it for real, because we are on the same thing. And then it's not even about the streets don't love you back. It's the streets talk back. The streets talk. Like anything and everything going on in the hood, trust and believe I'm getting a phone call. They'll be like, where you hear that from? The streets talk.
That's right.
The hood talks.
Always been talking.
There's always people that talk.
Yeah, and then they want to talk about they want to talk about snitches get stitches and become somebody's bitches. You're right about that. So that's why you don't get yourself involved in no shit that's going to put you in that shit.
Right.
Point blank, period.
Don't put yourself in a situation that would make you maybe have to become a snitch or whatever. Exactly.
Okay.
I watch it played out.
And you already know I have the incarceration to on corporation shows once a month with all the authors calling them from their cell phones in their cells, doing 35 years, doing 17 years. What? Keith, my co-host just got out after 17 years.
Right.
17 years. But he real as it come.
Right.
You know what
now
I'm saying?
I'm good in life now, you know?
And then, Rob, on everything that gets me so upset is when they release prisoners after 30 or 40 years and expect them to survive in the streets. Man, they're going to purposely do something to get back into jail and get those three hots in a cot because that's what they're used to because we got institutionalized when we was in there.
Well, that's all they know after that many years.
Exactly. We don't know about cell phones. Computers, the internet, blog talk, what are you talking about? They don't know. And I feel so bad sometimes because I look at the ones getting released and I just be like, what do I got to do to educate them?
Right.
You know what? I got to educate them somehow, and people that I know, I got to educate.
You already know. And, because that's the only way you learn is by education. And you know what I mean? Because if you ain't educated, then to me, you ain't living. You feel me?
Exactly.
Because you ain't learned nothing to move ahead in life in any kind of way, shape, fashion, or form. Well, you're definitely not living, you know? So I always suggest to people all walks of life, you know, you have to read, man. You have to read out here, you know what I mean? You have to get into your history. You have to get into, you know what I mean, what's making the world turn, and that's education. You know what I mean? And hustling, being a thug and a gangbanger, that is not making the world turn. Feel me? Because they locking y'all up, killing y'all, just like the water faucet come out the water in the kitchen. So that game is totally washed up. You know, that's a straight lose-lose situation. So we need
We got to give credit to, his name is Gary, right? Give that man some credit for what he's doing and how he came out and did it.
His name is Roger Hayward, and his program is called Gary's Time because it's in Gary, Indiana. So he's definitely working hard to help those, ex-offenders and, you know, to get them jobs, to get them educated, to get their OSHA, you know, training in. And he's really working hard to help those people.
He works overtime plus, because we got emails going back and forth. And then on top of it, you know, I sit back and I look at the ones that are fake in prison. They are in prison for no reason. But guess what? None of their family will step forth and try to talk about it. None of the family will try to get them out. Oh, well, look, I'm going to tell you something that's real. And whether anybody believe me or not, your parents are your parents. And no disrespect, Rob, your parents are your parents. But when it comes to a grandmother's love, because on everything I know about everything and everything I do and everybody that I've met, when it comes to your grandmother, your parents will say, oh, shit, he murdered somebody? Well, he going to have to sit behind here. Oh, no, not your grandmother. She going to mortgage a house. She going to go walk the street to raise money to make sure you're bailed out because you grandma's baby, because the grandmother always got unconditional love.
Right. Well, yeah, you got definitely got a lot of grandparents like that, you know what I mean? And you got some that's not like that. So, yeah, I got to give you big ups on that, you know what I mean? You got some people that go to the end of the earth, you know what I mean, and back, you know, and then you got some that won't, you know. So it's a, you know, a half and half situation in life on everything, you know. But, yeah, you real on that one right there. But I just respect the ones who do it. And the ones who don't do it need to learn and take evaluation on how to start doing it, you know. If it's a thing where you ain't understanding, start learning, you know. But I just thank everybody for tonight, you know, and for calling in and everything. Do we have another call online tonight?
There's another caller, and I believe it might be the one that we lost earlier, but we'll try it one more time. The last four digits are 5176. Caller?
Yeah. You online?
Mute him.
Caller, you there?
You're on the air.
Y'all, for real. And y'all need to smoke.
I know who this is. I do.
Who is this?
That's Bambito. Bam!
Oh, okay.
Okay. Lots of noise in the background.
Yeah,
he got all the he over there with all the kids, like I said. That's one of my
He hung up again.
Oh, he hung up because he's trying to get those kids situated.
Okay, well, we'll call back. We'll know who it is now. And we still have Yolanda still on the line. Yolanda?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, yeah, we still have you on the line here, too.
Yeah, you can go ahead and finish saying your thing. The mic is yours now, Miss Yolanda.
Oh, well, I'm just listening and enjoying this, but, you know, I was just saying, you know, how fathers and parents, and I don't have any kids, but as a teacher, you know, my brothers have kids, so I'm, you know, you're kind of a parent to everybody. And, you know, things, you talk about God has everything worked out just as it should be, because I'm sure if I had kids of my own, I probably wouldn't have the patience that I do with kids. And plus, if you ever want to be smart, you're talking about learning something, that's one reason why I teach. Because I had, when I was going through all that with my dad last year, those 9 kids I had, and I lost my best friend the month before I lost my dad. And they said, Miss Yolanda. Yo, thank you. And they said, Miss Yolanda, you know what? They said, you don't have your best friend, but guess what? You have 9 new friends. And, you know, they hug me every day. And they didn't want me to miss school. And I didn't, and I had asthma. I tell you, every other month I was in the, because I, you know, stressed out or whatever, every other month I was in the emergency room. And they didn't believe it. If I would have to come in late, you know, because I had to get breathing treatments. And I would have a stack of notes. And I kept every note, a stack of notes on my desk. Right. Long notes from, dear Miss Yolanda, I know you're sick, but please feel better. Don't be sick and miss school. Because we don't want to miss school, and I'm gonna do my spelling test anyway, and this, that, and the other, and, you know, and that just, you know, God had everything worked out because, you know, my friend, we knew about my dad, but my best friend got sick. It seemed like all of a sudden, and he went so fast, and you know, God had everything worked out that I had lost 2, but I had gained 9, plus their parents because their parents, you know, came around me and just, you know, and it was genuine. And, you know, children, there's no faking with them. They hadn't learned all that pretentiousness or whatever. And I know some of them would pack extra lunch and say, we didn't know if you were going to have lunch today. So I bought an extra bag of chips for you. Now, I mean, every other day was a surprise. And so if you can just, you know, there's really so much good in the world. And there's so much good if you choose to see it. Just like I know people who even may not see it because of their lifestyle or whatever. But you know, I was talking to my art teacher about Rob, and you know his situation, and she said, you know, it's so funny that you can see how God has His hands on everybody, because who is better to speak to some kid that can reach somebody that may be far in the streets or live in the streets, like, other than somebody than Rob. So, you know, his mistake wasn't really a mistake. You know, he was on purpose. You know, and she said, I said, yeah, because who would listen to old crazy Art Lady? What could I say to somebody? You know, I could offer them hand up, tell them what I know. But but they know, I don't know where they've been or where they're coming from. I can understand hurt and pain to a certain extent, you know, but to know that lifestyle, no, who other than someone who's been there, and then could stop them or help them or show them an alternative, you know.
And so, to understand, you know, what they're feeling and what they're going through out there.
Right. And, you know, and so I tell you, God has everything worked out just as it should be. And when you can see that in life, you know, there really aren't any mistakes. And Neil Donald Washbell says that. He said, if you see, there's really no mistake if you choose to see the lesson. You know, you only the Dalai Lama says it, you only lose if you lose the lesson. You
right.
know, So just hearing you talk about your journey with your father reminded me of my brothers and how just to see them turn around and to actually say, though, what a good time they were having with him. And even now going through their stuff today, seeing all these pictures, trophies, and all I could do was just laugh because some of the stuff you would be like, oh, my God. And then to see how two of my brothers look just like my dad. I'm like, oh, my God.
Hey, well, you know, Miss Yolanda, we definitely, you know, going to put a documentary out about my father's whole life, you know what I mean? Because my father, like I said, he'd been in the ministry ever since he was a teenager, you know?
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah, it go back that deep. I mean, as a kid, for real. It ain't nothing he started when he was 20 years old or none of that. Since he was a kid.
Oh, that is so awesome. That is something that has to be seen. You know, that's just amazing.
So I'm finna open up old history.
Yeah, that is just wonderful. What a gift, you know.
To a new generation of people.
Yeah.
That is
wonderful. I know it'll be well received.
I never dreamed of that, though. You know what I mean? Miss Yolanda is like blowing me away, you feel me?
Right. It's just amazing when you can see it, you're like, 'cause you know where you've been and what you used to think and what you used to say, and you just see how all the pieces of the puzzle fit, and you didn't have to force them, and you didn't have to be, you know,
no.
You just had to be yourself, and you had to honor yourself the way you did and come to your truth
and
stand on your truth,
right.
And that's just wonderful to experience.
Right, and I think, my father, he lived to see, like I say, the Streets Don't Love You Back book, and, you know, he told my sister, you know, Junior going to write several more books, you know what I mean? So it just made me feel good. I was like, wow, you know what I mean? Pop really, to even, you know, for me to even get that book collection, you know, it's like Pop had enough faith and trust in me that he knew I had changed my life, you feel me?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that my mind is where it's supposed to be at to carry the legacy.
Right, and you know, and I think, and I'm sure he could just really, through you, you know, he always knew, held on to his beliefs and knew about God, but to see what God had done in your life, too, can you imagine the awesomeness he felt to see God working through you?
Oh, ain't no mystery, you know. People ain't seen nothing yet.
Yolanda, do you have the radio show on in the background or something?
No, I don't have anything on the background.
Oh, okay.
No music.
I'm hearing an echo from somewhere, and I can't figure out where it's coming from.
Yeah, I keep hearing that too a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't have anything on other than my fan is on. But
I don't know why it's echo. Yeah.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just trying to figure out where the echo's coming from.
I can hear you guys really clear.
Okay,
yeah, I can hear pretty clear, but every once in a while there's like some echoing going on. It sounds a little bit better right now, actually.
Right.
Oh, okay. I just moved it
on
a different direction, maybe. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
there
Mr. Lyon,
yeah.
You know, I'm just feeling real blessed right now that, you know, I'm going to, you know, take it to the next level and, you know, God's will, you know.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's all worked out.
He passed knowing that everything is up. He the one told my sister, you know, he didn't want no reviving or nothing. So he had peace, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And in 08, I got a call. I'm going to tell you, I got work, Ms. Shalonda. 08, I got a call, you know what I mean, to come because my father was passing, right?
Uh-huh.
And, they took him to Hopkins then. But don't you know, Pop did not die. You feel me? Pop lived from when they said that in 08 to just now, today. Because it was unfinished business between me and my father. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You dig
right.
me?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I look at my life and I look at where it's headed at now. You know what I mean? And it's like my life is headed in fast speed, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's like, and I'm like, wow, you know what I mean? It's a lot of decisions being made, and, you know what I mean? I got this whole catalog right here, you know what I mean, that people, you know what I mean, have done read through the years, but this last generation, these couple of generations, done missed this great message, you feel me? So now it's time to reiterate that message back to the world where people can actually see my father's works and actually, you know, where I came from, you know what I mean? And why I think the way I think and why, you know, I became far as at the end of the journey, you know, I started doing things that my father had already been doing and I didn't really know that, you feel me, until I got a little older.
That is true. That is great. Yeah, like I said, that and he can see, you know, how awesome God is by what he's done through you, and now he can pass it on because he knows you can carry it, and you probably can reach people, and you can reach people that he probably couldn't reach or may not would ever pick up his message, you know. So everything worked out. Just worked out just as it should, and that's just so wonderful. Just take it all in, you know.
It's like wow, you know what I mean? But it's just a feeling that I can't explain, you know what I mean? And it's just God, he spared me all these years, man, for this moment, you know what I mean? Because really, I don't look at it as my father passed. I just look at it as, you know, he went on to his house. You know what I mean? Because God promised him as a kid, he had many mansions for him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just look at it that he gone to his mansion, kicking it.
Mm-hmm.
And now Junior finna, you know, shoot a three-pointer again. You know what I mean? To the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He already, you know? You know, I know with me and my wife posting this stuff on Facebook, it's tripping people out like, dang, you know what I mean? This is this guy's father, you know, and this guy comes from that type of lifestyle. You know what I mean? I know it's tripping people out.
Has to be.
Yeah. So,
but you know who else?
Just,
but there's a group of people still that only you could reach. You see, that you know your father, what he done all these years. You know, you knew who he was, but your friends didn't know who he was, in the sense that his relations to you, but. When they saw him on TV, he wasn't apparently talking anything that they understood. But now you can speak to people, you know. But know that this guy is real. This guy was in the life. He, you know, when he says it, you know, then they can understand you. Your heart can speak to their heart, you know, because there's not probably too much they couldn't tell you that would surprise you, you know, or would shock you. Yeah. So.
No. I mean, because God prepared me all my life for where I'm at today. You know, coming out the belly of the beast, you know what I mean, as we call it in jungle and hood. I mean, you know, my life started off like that, you know. But at the end of the journey, look at me now. You know, I'm an upstanding guy, you know, on another page now. You know, I was always upstanding in the other world, too, you know what I mean, because you got to be upstanding in whatever you do out here, whether it's wrong or right. You still have to be upstanding,
right.
You know. And, you know, now my life is upstanding on the other side of the page. And I used to be a guy, you know, that even though I live the life I live, it surprised people when I say something. I'd be kind of shy sometimes because I didn't used to get up and speak in front of people and stuff like that. You know what I mean? If you wasn't one of my homeboys or something like that, you know, you didn't see me all up front, you know. So to go to these places and speak to the young kids and things like that, it's a real blessing to me. And I thank my missus for that because, you know, meeting her, my life started turning in a whole another direction. You know what I mean? So I just felt that, you know, God has always been putting this in motion for me through my life. And my book didn't really start popping until I met my missus. You feel what I'm saying? My missus got behind me, you know what I mean? And she redid the whole Streets Don't Love You Back. Once that was did, you know, that went into the Afro-American History Museum and then several libraries across the country. So that was just my first work, you know what I mean? And in my first works, I put a lot of my father's books in the back of it, too. You feel me? So when people really read and get to the end, then they understand. You feel me? That this guy was just, it was a whole other side of his life.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That y'all didn't know about. So, you know, it's like now when, you know, I'm going to start putting things together that I'm going to write a whole boy memory, you know what I mean?
Book,
you know what I mean? About my father's whole history on down through my grandparents and this and that. And this is going to just open people's eyes up as well to a broader side. My other life, you know what I mean, that I could have had if I was that type of preppy little kid, you feel me? But that ain't the life God wanted for me, because if my father would have gave me everything, I don't think I would have turned out the man I am today. So I'm glad I didn't get no money. You feel me?
Oh, yeah. So every,
now,
you know.
Now people are starting to understand I came from a guy who had something. I didn't come from no bum. You know, I didn't come from no dope fiend. You know what I mean? I didn't come from none of that. You know what I mean? What I got into is what I got to on my own as a kid. But my parents was not of none of that.
Right.
Ain't too many people can say that.
And that is really true. That is so true. I just think about my cousins that have passed, you know, when they were in their 20s, and you're talking about having everything. They had everything we had twice over. And it was the choices they made to get involved with drugs, because they didn't have to get a job. I was working when I was 14. They didn't have to work.
Right.
They didn't have to do this. All they had to do was go to school.
And
my uncle,
day.
Right. And, you know, because I guess he, you know, and parents do the best they can. You know, he went to work every day. He started in the mailroom, and when he retired from that bank, he was the only black regional vice president that bank had ever had in Texas.
Wow.
And buried two sons, you know, in prison. You know, but it was their choice. You know, my cousin John.
No, and that's the thing, Yolanda. That, you know, drugs, gangs, you know, the streets, you know, they don't have any prejudice. They're not, you know, because you're from a poor family, you're going to be a gang member. That, you know, you could be the poorest family or the richest family and still make
that's
the wrong decision and still do the wrong thing, still use drugs, still get in trouble. It's all about choices. You know, some were taught right, some were taught wrong. But I think, you know, inside everybody generally knows good and bad. They can feel right and wrong, I think. Whether you're taught it or not, you know, I think it's just something that we come with, you know. Our conscience, I guess, that God gives us to know, hey, this doesn't seem right, you know. Maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyways, or... You know, so
you know, a lot of people are taught right things. A lot of people are taught the wrong things. A lot of people, you know, but it still comes down to personal choice and decisions and the things that we do. You know, I mean, you can think about, I feel like hurting that person, but it doesn't mean you have to go do it. You know, that's the choice and the decisions that you make.
Yeah, and I even remember my uncle telling my, oh, not to cut you off, it was just so funny when the last time when my cousin, I was close to my age, the last time he was incarcerated and he ended up passing away, my uncle before that had told him that if he would stay, if he would just stay clean 6 months, wouldn't do anything for 6 months, he would buy him this, I guess, big S, I don't know what class it comes in, BMW. And, you know, that just, when you have everything, that doesn't even mean anything to you. I don't even think he stayed clean 2 months. And then the last time he went in and that, you know, and it was, and they realized it too, and we all realized it. It was just the choices they made. And, you know, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And
amen.
You know, and I miss him too. I think, you know, he was my they were like brothers to us. And we hated to see him go, of course, but, you know, it wasn't anything we could say, because I would ask him, I'm like, how in the world, what in the world do you do in prison? And he's like, well, if you don't do this, you do that, you know? And I'm like, so why would you want to go back? But you don't understand, it's the call of the, once you get addicted, and if you don't fight for your life with an addiction, that's how it goes, so...
you know, people get caught up in the rapture out there, you know what I mean? You have to be able to know when to say enough is enough, you know? And a lot of people who make mistakes out there in life, they continue making the mistakes because they don't want to admit enough is enough. So it's people, but the ones who say it's enough and the ones who take it to the limit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we was raised, you feel me? And I was glad I was raised the way I was raised. And even though I was in the streets, I was a guy who also had a mind that thought for myself. And, you know, I thought about what my mama told me and this and that, you know what I mean? So I always had choices in my mind. You know, I wasn't no one-tracked guy, you know. I knew whatever I did, a bad choice or a good choice going to come out of this, you know. So that was the first nature of law, you know what I mean? Self-preservation. You got to know the moves on the chessboard before you get to playing it, you know? Because it ain't checked. You know what I mean? Definitely ain't checked, you know? So, God, you know, bless my life, and I'm very happy about that. You know, I'm just overjoyed, you know what I mean, of what he's done, you know?
Oh, yeah. And it's so nice that so many people can share that with you, and they can see through you. And, you know, if you just do what it is you can do and do what it is that's within your means to do, you don't – you can just sit back.
Right.
Yeah.
You just lay the message down, and it's up to people to perceive, you know. And just like steady planting seeds, you know, and that's all God's word is, you know, it's planting seeds, you know. And my mama planted that seed when I was like 9 years old, you know what I mean? So once again, I knew what choice was at a young age, you know what I mean? I knew what taking care of business was at a young age, you know what I mean? I knew what washing dishes was, cleaning, all that, you feel me? So, I ain't never had it twisted, you know, period. I made some mistakes through my lifetime, but and I ain't never had it twisted on how I go out here, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm thankful to be here, you know, and I'm blessed every day, you know. And
yes, indeed.
Well, Rob went twice this month out to a couple of different halfway houses in Cincinnati and spoke to a couple of different groups of young men. What can you tell the listeners about that, Rob?
What you say now,
about talking at the halfway houses in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
That
was a great moment. Yeah, that was a great moment. And, you know, people really paid attention and passed out some of our flyers and a couple of our ex-offenders brochures for them to learn from, and let them know it's no excuse that you can't get no job, because here's some information where you can definitely make that happen if you're for real about making that change in your life, you know. So, yeah, they paid close attention, and I was glad of that, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's good. Hopefully, you know, we need more programs out there for ex-offenders. And I mean, if we, you know, like we mentioned a couple weeks ago, if 1 in 32 adults in this world are either have been in prison or are now on probation or parole, you know,
that's
a lot of people
mm-hmm.
that are out there struggling to try to make things work out here once they're out here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then one little slip up and you're on probation again for a few years, and then one little slip up, you're back in jail, and then you're on probation again. You know, it's a vicious cycle, and these prisons and these parole boards and these county jails, they're all making money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, paying old fish, you know, that's why everybody got to
get
educated out here, because if you ain't trying to get educated, believe me, they got a place for you, you know.
We must
definitely turn our mentality around, because this is real out here, you know. I mean, there's so many things to do out here positive, you know, even though, you know, we need more programs, but at the same time, all the people we see on Facebook just chatting, you could be learning how to start a home-based business, you know what I mean, while you're in the job, you know. You can learn how to sell socks, shoes, hats, whatever, you know what I mean? Because people buy from all walks of life, you know? It ain't just limited,
right.
you know, once, you know? So that's my, you know, motivation to people out here. You know, don't wait on no government. Don't worry about what no budget being cut. Because if you take care of your business as much as you do on Facebook, you ain't going to worry about no what budget being cut, because you're making your own money.
Right.
You got your own home-based business, you know. You can respect what they're cutting, but it ain't going to affect you, because when you hit your mouse, you done made $1,000 or $900, you feel me? And the more you promote, the more people going to buy. So that's the bottom line out here. So don't keep talking about, you know, because I'm a convicted felon, ain't no job. So don't keep talking about all the government cutting this and all this and that. And hey, you out here on the internet all day long, you feel me? And that's the place of business. You know, it's a place where most people go jack off time. But when I'm on there, I'm all about business. I'm not on there to jack off no time. You know, I love the network. I love to, you know, show others how to get money. But I like to get paid, you know what I mean? I don't like to just be kicking, because we got to understand in life, you know, we can kick it, but we have to be on top of our business as well, you know.
Right.
The world turns day, and that's just the word to the wise, you know.
Right. And the education, one thing I know that you all know, also that the education gives you more choices. You see, when I got degreed, worked at a bank for 14 years, and then just on my own, because I like to, I took my hobby, writing, started writing.
Right.
And a lady found out, she said, well, you can write, but what about, can you teach computers? Since you work at the bank, you think you can teach? We don't have anybody that can teach this advanced Excel course. And I said, what do you mean by advanced? Well, you know, just doing a few tricks with the spreadsheet and teaching them how to do charts. Well, that's second nature in banking. You have to do that. I was like, of course.
Exactly.
That job led me to another job. It was so funny. A lady's on my Facebook page now. I was subbing for her at the school. We got interviewed at the same time at this business school, but they hired her because she had a little bit more, they said, more technical skill, which was fine. But they called me and said, she has to be out for a week or so. Would you mind subbing for her? We can only pay you $33 an hour. Would that be okay? And I was about to burst out of my shoes because, you know, I was thinking, you know, these other little gigs I'm taking here and there, you know, they were pinching here and there. I'm like, $33 an hour to sit with some kids? And they gave me
a
fat check.
Let me make that happen.
Absolutely. And that subbing job, I was, let me tell you, I was temporary for 3 years.
okay?
Amen.
Part-time hours with full-time money. Now, don't tell me that, you know. And
that
you know,
good
and
me.
No, real good.
Yeah,
I said, thank
doubt.
You, God.
Kind of
and
job
I
like,
thank you. I said, thank you, God.
Full-time money.
Right. I said, thank you for opening my eyes because I'd never thought about that. They didn't advertise the job. Guess it's a lot of places don't advertise, you know.
Right.
And what was so funny, because I asked the guy, I said, how did you even get my resume? I've never met you. He said, well, you must have faxed it to here because I think I was working for a business school that laid me off. And I said, yeah, I did fax it to somebody named Annette. That was like a year ago. He said, well, she left the company. And she cleaned out the desk, but she left her resume in the drawer.
Wow.
He said, isn't that so good?
Nice.
And so I started teaching kids. And, you know, of course, they all knew how to do funny stuff with the computer, but a lot of them didn't know how to write sentences. I said, do you know?
See, that was a blessing.
Right, they're doing text messaging for their inquiries, you know, to job inquiries. I said, excuse me, do you really think that's acceptable for you to write the letter U addressing someone? I said, do you think you're going to get an interview? Why would you interview you? You know, so I had the opportunity for those who wanted to listen, which I had most of them who did. And when I left that school, we had more employers wanted to hire our students because of the standards we held them to than we had students because of the school. They were more of on the expensive side because, you know, private business schools are. But still, those people that we were able to help, well, I mean, we had our students with three or four interviews before they were finishing, like they would have three or four interviews a day, three or four job offers before they graduated.
Right.
And this is a small group of business.
Yeah.
Right. And the person who's over that school now is strictly in Texas. They have a veterinarian's technicians now because of the business program. We have a big community college here, and the business schools here really can't compete with the community college. But our director, who is from New Orleans, he has a English degree. He's from Notre Dame. And he's over that school now. And I tell you, just the rapport, the magic he has with students, I mean, he holds them to their stuff. He said, you come here and you think the teacher's supposed to give you something and show you something. And you know, because you get the ones coming out of school that say, why can't you just tell me what's on the test? I'm like, we don't teach tests.
I
know,
what
am I
telling
you on the test for? You're training. I'm a taught medical students. Also, and the medical students were medical assisting students. I said, I'm a patient, I'm sick, I'm in a bad mood. You have to go take my temperature. And there was, I said, so how are you going to, so what I need to teach you on, how is me telling you what's on the test is going to prepare you for a patient that you may not be expecting to be able to go and touch that person's hand and calm them down, then go do the billing if you have to do the billing and be able to just, so what is teaching tests going to do for you on your job, you know, and and most of them who we got employed appreciated that, but there, you know, there's few that, you know, they have to get out there and fight and struggle on their own, which is, you know, their journey, but, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be educated because I can go sit at a desk job now. I think I have my artist ADD so bad now I can't sit down for 2 minutes. I have to go paint something, so I do go paint on Monday. Yeah, I paint on Mondays with this wonderful lady that's teaching. She's 72 years old. She's retired, and she does a painting class over at this place that's near my house. So I paint on Mondays, and then I schedule all the students that I tutor. I schedule my students that I tutor Tuesday through Thursday. So
that's great.
That's what an education can do for you, because you never know who wants to use your skill. You know, who can use your skill and will pay you for it. And they won't even blink at your rate. All my students, I tell them my rate starts at $25 an hour. Oh, well, that's all? I'm like, yeah, that's you know, and they write you a check before you leave there. So, you know, that works for me.
You definitely ain't mad at them. You definitely ain't mad at them.
You have to use your imagination out there and be creative. And you can do a lot of different things with what you know.
Mm-hmm. Because you never know.
Yolanda, we still have Lisa on the line, and Lisa has, I think, a question for you or a comment or something. So go ahead, Lisa.
Okay.
Hey, Yolanda, it's Lisa. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
How
I'm blessed.
How did your book fair go?
Oh, girl, you don't even want to know. It was off the hook.
Yeah, I was waiting to hear about it because I was like, you know, when you like my page, you know, that page is a community page for you to share about whatever's going on with you. And because one of the writers, I think, that I just met through another lady that was doing some marketing stuff, I think she was already friends with you. And I'm thinking you guys get on that page and let people know. That's a community page. Let them know about your events because I have, you know, people all over, write, especially a lot of writers who want to break into writing, who want to get their stuff in print. So I just wanted to, you know, I said, well, I wanted to hear how that book fair went.
Oh, and, girl, please. we won't even talk about the meet and greet the night before when I had Sean Wright's book release party at the sports bar over here. Wow, the night before. It shouldn't have been called meet and greet. It should have been called tour up from the floor up. But that's another story. Yolanda, I want to talk to you about being a teacher because I have to say something. I have to give a shout-out to Margo, mm-hmm. C.J. Hudson's wife, Margo Spike. That lady right there, and, you know, I'm so tired of teachers getting a bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about they glorified babysitters and this, that, and the third.
Mm-hmm.
There are real teachers out there
mm-hmm.
that love their students and really have passion for what they do. I know that woman does. I know
mm-hmm.
that woman does. And now I'm hearing from you. I know you do. So
yeah.
I want to know why people think when they send their kids to school, they're getting babysit.
I
best
I don't
believe.
Know.
Ooh, I get so mad. When
yeah.
my nephew walk in here, every day he walk in after school, titi, here I come. Okay, where's your homework? I ain't got none. What do you mean you ain't got none? But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, they calling his father's phone, talk about, well, he didn't pass the class. Well, what the hell is y'all teachers doing over there? Because
mm-hmm.
I know the ones that are teaching will take the time to be with
mm-hmm.
that student.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just get mad, and I got to speak upon some stuff when I get mad, and everybody know, don't
yeah.
get Lisa riled up. But
you know
real.
What? Yeah, they need to go. I have, not to cut you off, but I have a family of four that I'm tutoring now. And the kids come home with comments that the teacher, you know, has written on these papers. And they asking me, what does she mean? I said, okay, I, this is what I think it means, but this is what I want you to do. When she writes a comment on your paper, I want you to say, excuse me, miss, whatever her name is. Can you explain that to me? Can I have a minute after class, or could you write me an excuse to be late to the next class so you can explain this? And I also wrote a note to their parents because one of the boys, they said his reading was at below par. And I said, I know it's not below par because he explained the story to me, and I know the story because another kid that's in the same neighborhood, I'm tutoring her, we read the story. I gave him a test. He did 95 on 7th to 8th grade and 85 on 6th to 7th grade, so he's on target for reading. So I said, have you set any meetings with his teacher? No, but thank you. I said, you need to, now, I said, so what happened that day when you took the test? His name is Mitchell. He said, oh, they put us on a computer. They made us go up and down and click on pages. He said, and I think I just got confused. I said, okay. When he said that, I said, well, did you tell your teacher that you messed up questions or anything and you may need to retake the test or whatever? No. I said, and mom and dad didn't go to school. I said, you all have to be proactive. Take a one day a month or whatever you can, because they both work, and go to the schools and get the feedback from, so what do you think he needs to work on? What do you think is his week or whatever? You know, set some meetings up. You know, it's not just the teacher's job, because public school teachers, the curriculum, they may not even write it. It's dumped on them. They have 120 kids. However, it's a partnership, you know. It's a partnership. When a kid comes home talking about, I ain't got no homework, and then they're calling on the other end saying he's not doing his work, something is amiss. That's because he knows somebody's not paying attention.
And the other
thing
is that we can't expect teachers to raise our children.
We have to follow up with them, and we have to make sure our children are doing the work that they need to be done, you know, at home, their homework or whatever. I mean, it's still the parents' responsibility to follow up and find out, you know, how is my child doing? What is my child doing? You know, if they notice something different in the child, maybe call the teacher and say, have you noticed anything? Do you know what's going on? You know, and we can't blame the teachers. And the teachers out here nowadays have a very, very tough job with the way kids are and, you know, with the way society is and the disrespect and things like that. I mean, I would not want to be a teacher. That's one of my, I mean, just it's just got to be a hard, hard job. You know, you got to really, I love what you're doing. And I know there are a few teachers out there that, you know, really don't like what they're doing, and you can tell. But I think for the most part, to be a teacher, you really have to want it because it's a tough job. Mm-hmm. I really think it's a tough job.
Yeah, you have to tag team. You have to make a partnership. And I tell them, because I would tell my kids, you know, they were even my nice little kids, I say nice little kids, but they were kids in their own right, trying to get away with stuff. I tell them, your mom is my new best friend. Do you know that? And tell her, I'm going to call her tonight and see what she's up to. Because I had one little boy tell me one time, both his parents were doctors and they were quite busy. And he just did his, he liked to do math, but he didn't like to do his spelling. So he said, well, Mama punished me, but, you know, I can still go play Wii in my room. She doesn't even know. I go, oh, really? He goes, yeah, she doesn't know. So when we had the parent-teacher conference, I said, did you know that they have Wii in their room and they play Wii when you punish them? And so I said, maybe he's not seeing that you noticed that. And then she said, thank you for telling me. And then and he came. She said, that's it. She said, not only am I unplugging the Wii, I'm unplugging something else I was letting them play with. She said, thank you for telling me. I said, yeah, I let them know that we are best friends and that, you know, they want to tell me a secret. I said, okay, you can tell me a secret, but we have to always include Mom and Dad on the secrets. Nobody gets the secret. I said, you never exclude Mom and Dad from the secret. This would be, if I know the secret, then Mom and Dad have to know the secret, you know. So right. I let them know that we're tag teaming all the time. You have to tag team on them because my parents didn't have to tell us to do a homework. I knew it was implied she better not get a phone call, you know, especially after her dad separated. If she had to take off and go to school, oh, my God. You would be afraid to come home, you know. So
get the switch off the back of the just go in the back and get a switch, and don't bring the small one. Don't even bring the small one. But Yolanda, let's go back to what you're saying because I'm a Princeton graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm in the streets. I'm from Newark, a Princeton graduate from Newark that they never expected. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's talk about how the streets don't love you back because these kids, they get in school and they get so set in the ways they're a product of their environment. The mamas and daddies are crackheads running the streets. So the kids don't think, they ain't worried about their kids going to school. They're really not worried about it. So then we get the kids in the school, we finally get them up under the wing, get them in the school. Those kids don't know what to do. Because their parents don't give a fuck, point blank, period. Sorry to cuss, but that's how I feel about it.
I got that. Right. I see you.
Because I am so sick of it in the hood. I'm so sick of these little kids running around looking like Raggedy Ann and Andy, Mama and Daddy looking like, you know, they got it's fly going on because little Mama got her child support check. Daddy out there selling crack. But at the end of the day, guess what? Then we go to the second part of the street where the mothers are selling their food stamps to get a rock. Oh, my God. And their kids ain't in school. They ain't got coats. They ain't got jackets. They ain't got book bags. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we do with the streets? Like, I mean, you have no idea. You have no idea. Every year, I take my nieces, my nephews, they all go shopping for school. We get the, I get them two uniforms and fresh gear and a backpack. Go to Family Dollar, get all the books, you know, the pens, papers, all that. But there's only so many I could do that for. Right. And then I'm looking at the rest of the hood like, what the hell? Like, I'm doing this by myself, and I'm a white girl doing this for my hood.
Yeah,
where the hell are these parents at that should be doing this?
Yeah, and you know what, Issa, and that's really your area. Other than, and I know you speak your mind and you don't have a problem telling people what you think, but, you know, you have to call them on that stuff. You know, somebody else there cares behind you. If it's a grandmother there or maybe an older sibling, you can reach out to them. Like, we need to get together on this. Well, this is what's happened. These kids have to be in school. They can get something out of. They have an opportunity if they go to school. If a teacher can inspire them some way, if they can care about something, regardless of their home situation, you know, we have to get some kind of commitment from someone other than you. Because I can tell you that I hadn't had that experience with the kids that I worked with at this particular school. But I've seen kids like that. Like I taught some that they came in with the. They still had the bracelets they put on them when they get released, like the monitoring bracelets on them. And some of them try, but I tell you, the pull on the strips is so strong. They're like, look, we're not going to have food today. And can you mark me present? Because I got to go do what I got to do. I was like, you know, I said, if you're not here, you're not here. I said, I'm not putting you down and for what you feel you need to do. I said, but, you know, and some of them are very intelligent. I said, while you're here, use your brain to do something else. Think of an alternative, you know. And so I just give the best that I have when I'm presented with that opportunity. But where you are, you know, that's the best thing I can think of. You just have to call them out. And I know the way you speak out, I mean, you speak real to them. You tell them like it is. And, you know, just get somebody there with you that'll help you. I mean, you just have to call them out. So I can't do it by my – I can't – shop for everybody, you know, and I'm doing it, but they see mom and dad doing whatever. Why should they care about school, you know? What, you know, so you just have to call them out on it. I mean, and there has to be somebody else, more than a few.
But Yolanda, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
They're a product of their environment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole problem. They're a product of their environment. They're in the streets. They only got us to turn to. So if they come to us and, like you said, can you mark me present? Best believe it's because mama or daddy told them to tell you that so they can go out and do what they got to do, hustle, do whatever they got to do on the streets to bring home food and money to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right for a kid. Why should a kid be put through that?
Right.
Oh, Lord God, please help me. I'm going to cuss again some more tonight. But I'm telling you, I get so mad about it because these kids don't deserve it. Like my little girl, let me tell you about my two daughters. My first one, she's 24. She just she's about to graduate. She just took her finals. She takes her externship starting on Monday.
Okay? Wow.
She graduated in the top 2% of her class. The graduation won't be till May, but my daughter, I'm proud. That's Princess. Then I got baby girl.
Uh-huh.
Baby girl is 11 years old, reading on a 12th grade level, can spell neurology, can tell you she want to be a neurologist and will break down every body part, everything, anything and everything, an artery, all that. She can break it down. She can break down. She was 6 years old and came and told me, Mommy, do you know what a new goat is? A new goat, like, I don't even know how to spell it. Embryo, fetus, and all this. She breaking it down. I'm looking at her at 6 years old, looking at her like, Maya, what is you talking about? She said, well, if you don't know how to have a baby, I don't know how you had me. Wow. 6 years old. And I'm just looking at this baby like, oh, no, you didn't. She said, and yes, I did. But she's the same little girl that will go on the block and look at Uncle Sal, Uncle Haas, Uncle Mooney, and say, what you got in your pocket? The ice cream truck coming. And they'd be like, you know, Maya, it's not paid yet. Well, you better get on the block and get on your grind. Maya, what are you talking about? So the street, she's smart. She's street smart and brain smart like her mama. Now, Blondie, Princess, oh, Lord, we won't even talk about that child right there. She She is a trip. Princess is a trip. Like I said, she got brain smarts to death, graduated. She going to go to her externship next week. But don't put her on the street. Please don't put the baby on the streets and ask her to do something, because you just be looking at her like, oh, we all getting busted tonight. For real. That little girl right there, the stories I could tell you about her, but she learned hard and she learned fast. Like, how you going to have, like, my daughter smoked weed. We all know that. But that's why we call her Puffy. But no lie, the child, she's, that girl right there, she with her boyfriend, she couldn't figure out where her keys was to the house. So they pull over in a park that says no parking after dark. Here comes the cops. So she said, I'm looking. The cop said, what are you doing? She said, I'm looking for my keys. Dumps over her purse and got a half ounce of weed in it. Oh, Lord, child, what the hell did you do? So now I'm getting the phone calls, you know, because I'm on speed dial from all the police stations in Newark, New Jersey, Brunswick, Somerville, Central, all of them. They got me up and just called Lisa. But when they call about my own child, I'm sitting there like, oh, no, she didn't. They're just like, Lisa, just come get her. Just come get the child. I was like, oh, Lord. But, yeah, but she made a mistake, an honest mistake. But when it came to it, I had to have the baby girls back because she was graduating top in her class in high school.
Right.
She made a mistake. But there are the parents out there that don't educate their child, don't understand. Kids make mistakes. Shoot, I'm still making mistakes at almost 45 years old.
Right.
I'm making mistakes. So when you look at children, we've got to look at them as individuals, what the environment is they rolling up in, what they deal with on the streets, and at the same time, we got to love them all because we all came from that. I know I came from Newark.
And things, even though they might have been available, you know, when we were in school or young, it's a lot worse now, too. I mean, everything is so much more available out on the street for anybody.
Back in the day, the worst we had to deal with was weed.
Right.
I'm not going to lie to you. Weed and Boone's Farm wine. That was it. That was the biggest thing we went through. Okay, yeah, there was coke out there. There was speed out there. But, you know, if you were smart enough, you didn't mess with it. Nowadays, that's why I get upset. You've not only got all that, you've got crack, coke, heroin, speedballs, all this stuff. You got AIDS. We never heard about AIDS. The worst we had to worry about was getting, what was it, syphilis and the clap and crabs. That was the biggest thing going on out there. Now, what? And none of those killed you.
Right.
Now, you got HIV, you got AIDS. I had a cousin that was with her husband for 11 years, three kids. He gave her AIDS. She died. We all got custody of the kids. He's still walking around. He actually tried to walk into the funeral parlor. They didn't know what to do with me when he walked in. They grabbed me and told him he better get out. So, and she was faithful as hell. Never did nobody. So like I said, there's so much out there that these kids don't know. And we can educate them. We can tell them. We can try to protect them. But at the end of the day, what really can we do?
That's where we come in, Lisa. That's where we all come in. Us getting out there and talking to these kids, letting them know we've been there, we've done that. You know, it's, you know, give them a reason to go to school. Give them a reason to want to learn. Because a lot of kids out there selling drugs are smart kids. They know what the heck they're doing. They know how to count their money and they know how to do their math. And, you know, just like Rob said, I knew how to read, I knew how to write, I knew how to count my money. But, you know, we've got to give them a reason to not do that and to get educated.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, with Rob's story, too. Right. With Rob's story, I remember reading that Rob, when he decided he wanted to get from that lifestyle, he found something that he could care about. You know, I think he had started a relationship or he or he or something, or he cared enough about his mother not to see her crying anymore. You know, what is it that they care about? What you hear a lot of kids, especially when they start, you got hormones and all that's playing a part of it too. That they, you know, they feel, and you know, at their age where they feel, you know, invulnerable. I don't care, you know. They feel wild because of whatever, but it's something that they care about. And if we can just come find a common, what that common ground is, make them care about it enough to want to change or want to take care of themselves first by being educated. By not exposing themselves with bad behavior or dangerous behavior or whatever it is. But, you know, whatever it is, however we can reach them. Again, that just came to me when I read Rob's story that, you know, when they find something that they care about, they care enough about themselves. I mean, because I think you left and you went to another city. Wasn't that right, Rob? When you were
Yeah, because, you know, I had you know, I had did it all, man. You know what I mean? I got tired of hurting my mother, and, you know, it was like I had to make a choice, man. Either I was going to live or I was going to die. That was the bottom line, you know what I mean? Because that's the life that was presented. It was no other way, you know. So once I made the, you know, mind up to say, hey, I know I'm leaving the city. I know I'm leaving away from my mother and my brothers and sisters, but at the same time, this is a choice I have to make, and wherever God lead me, I roll. So that's what it did, and I was 25 years old at the time, and now, you know, I'm in my late 40s now, so leaving was the best thing I could ever did. Yeah, and my mother, she understood.
Yeah.
So I always had a very understanding mother. No matter what I did, I always had a very understanding mother, and me and my mother is very close, you know. And I think, you know, I tell kids all the time that, you know, my mother was my inspiration. That's my hero, and, you know, my heroes don't run across no football field or do no three-point jumping shots in no basket or none of that. You know what I mean? My hero is the woman who had me, and the woman who sacrificed her whole life for her kids. You know, my mother was a singer, you know. Yeah, my mother could have been a singer. She had, her sisters was a group, you know. And the Supremes and all of them was out, and Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, them and Temptation in the City. My mom and them used to be singing with all that too, you know what I mean? So my mother sacrificed her whole life, you know what I mean? So as a kid, you know, I knew it was my responsibility, you feel me, after life took a turn at a very young age to take care of my mother, you know. So that's always been my solid ground. It's always been what God wanted me to do righteous, you feel me, because, hey, man, without her, it definitely wouldn't be no me. That's real tough, you know.
Well, you threw it off. She was like your mom and dad, and, you know.
Yeah.
And she was the only strong person, I think, in Rob's life when he was going through what he went through. And even though she knew what he was doing out there, she still, you know, stuck by him, believed in him, you know, kept telling him, you know, you got to get away from this, you got to change. You know, she prayed for him, she talked to him and talked to him and talked to him and told him stories and helped him understand the ways of life and the things, you know, that can happen and the consequences. And I think just, you know, thank God that he lived through his teens and you know, and is living now. But, I mean, and it is a miracle that he is because, you know, like you said, most of his friends are dead. And a lot of them, after 20 years, are getting out of prison. Some of them are still never getting out of prison. But, you know, now it's that 20-year mark and some of them are getting out. And they're coming home to join up with Rob and to tell the kids that, you know, it's not worth it, guys. It's not worth it.
Wow.
So, you know, I thank God for Rob's mom, too. She's a very strong woman and a godly woman. And you know, she is Rob's rock. She's always been there, you know, to help him and especially to pray for him, I know.
Yeah, you know, so I really, you know, respect life, you know, and that's just the whole point of life, you know. You have to have something that you truly respect in life and love in life to never want to let down in life. And, you know, just through my mother, you know, I just never wanted to be a failure in front of my mother, you know, and that was one of my biggest worries through my whole life, you know, getting in trouble and all of that. You know, I didn't want to be locked down nowhere and something happened to my mama, you know. So, you know, me and God had our tosses all the time, you know what I mean? And in the end, he had me realize, you know, I saved you for a reason, brother, and your message is the streets don't love you back, you know what I mean? That's the most powerful word in America, you know what I mean? Because that says everything in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. It can't be said no clearer than that, you feel me? So just the gift of giving me that title, you know, God gave me that title, you feel me? And that was like, bam, you know, this is what the people need to see and this is what the people need to hear and this is the message people need to perceive, because at the end of the day, the streets don't love you back. So that takes care of everything, you know.
Yeah.
So I was very blessed to do that, you know, with that book right there. And like I said, my missus, redid the whole book for me and put everything together, edit everything. And, you know, it's like, that team thing, you feel me, that we do on all our projects, you know, it's just phenomenal, you know. And I'm just thankful, you know, that we are on one accord, we're on one page, and we be delivering our message, you know what I mean, to the world, you know, to understand, you know, that we must uplift each other, you know, because if we don't uplift each other, then we become a failed nation, you know, and that's the bottom line out here in life. And when people really hear me talk, they trip out because they be like, man, you know, they say, you be blowing me away the way you be kicking it, man. You know, they say, well, you got sense. Yeah, I say, don't miss you, bro. I say, through the life I done lived, if you didn't have no sense, brother, you wouldn't be out here living, not at my age. You've been there.
Really?
Doing life.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because there's nothing about you that's dumb.
Yeah, it was just the prayers of my mother and my father prayed for me too, you know what I mean? And just people who loved me and knew that one day, you know, I would do something and change my life around to help other people. So it's just a phenomenal thing that I'm able to deliver my message and I'm able to have someone on my team, you know what I mean, as a message to roll together as a unit on this message and, you know, just let people know, you know, this is what happens when you change your life and when you believe in the Creator and put Him first, you know. And we ain't saying that you ain't going to have to go through His test, because you're definitely going to have to go through the fiery furnace, for He can know if you're a strong warrior or if you're going to fall out in the battlefield, you feel me?
Yep.
So let's not get it twisted now. You know, you don't just be the number one warrior because you say your prayers now. You know, it's a lot go with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but the thing
that's
is,
a lot go
when
with
we
that.
Do, when we do fall, He's there to pick us up again. So.
Right.
Rob, here I come again. You know I got to open my mouth 24/7.
Go right ahead.
Oh,
he's so sick
it.
Of me. He's about to cut me off. He'd be like, block that girl from the page. Rob.
Yeah, we loving it, you know.
I want some real strength. When the streets don't love you back, and we all sitting here, and we all trying to do it, so now what we got to do, we got to come to Georgia, because I'm down, you already know I'm in Atlanta. And we got to hit these schools. We got to hit these schools. Because let me tell you, my little nephew rocked that shirt with the mission statement on it.
My man.
My little Beto rocked that shirt to the middle school because he's 14. He rocked it, and people was like, why are you wearing that? He's like, Auntie said, Titi said. And he was like, don't mess with my Titi. Because she's from Newark. She don't play. He don't play with me. And they was like, he actually just stood back on his locker and put his hands down and leaned back and let them read the mission statement. And all those kids.
Man.
And I didn't even get to tell y'all this because I've been swamped with the event. But all those kids was coming by, and the principal came up to him and said, what are you doing? Why you ain't moving to your class? He said, because I got something to say, and it's a mission.
Mm-hmm.
He damn sure
right.
said.
Well,
so the principal looked at him and said, I'm going to let you get with that, but I'm going to call mm-hmm. your father. He said, no, mm-hmm. call my auntie. Here's her number, and let her tell you something. So when the principal called me, I was like, what you yelling at my nephew for? He was going to class. He was in the hallway. He was leaning against his own locker. He wasn't mm-hmm. in no trouble. What are you going to say? She said, no, actually, I want to ask you if you can come speak at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll come to the school. I said, but I'll get the ones that are running the street, Don't Love You Back. I'll get them to come to Atlanta, and we're going to go to all the schools. She said, please do. And that was a surprise that I had for y'all.
Wow.
Amen.
Awesome.
That little
right.
boy, what? And then I walk in the nail salon with the never hit a woman shirt on. They're like, where you got that from? Oh, you didn't know about that author? Hold up. Let me break it down to you. They all looking at me like I'm straight crazy in the nail salon. I said, what? Yeah. So I rock those T-shirts. And like I said, when
yeah,
my nephew did that, and I'm getting calls from the school, he did his job.
Mm-hmm.
You can suspend
right.
him if you want to, because guess what? I'll back him up on that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, we appreciate that. You know, we appreciate all of that.
Oh, yes.
What I would say, too, is that, you know, a lot of the kids that, and I don't know about the kids that you meet, Lisa, or some of the ones that I've met that may have been in, you know, in trouble or whatever, I think they're going to work. They're not even half as smart as maybe you, Rob, or anybody. They won't even make it to their 20s because, I mean, they have gotten in some ways crippled because they bought into some mindset. And I'm like, oh, my God, where is your brain? You're not even smart enough to do what you do.
Because they're
going to
be, Yolanda, they're going to be under the jail or in it.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Right. I'm like, you're not even smart enough to even try to do what you're doing. So wouldn't it be best that you go read something first? If you don't steal something,
right.
learn how the thing works or whatever it is. You know, and that's
mm-hmm.
what I that's what I see now. And but again, you know, it is finding some common ground, because I find that's one thing that I never had to try to do with children. I'm Montessori trained. I didn't go get a teacher certification because I think, you know, public school certifications, they're for the wrong reasons, you know,
right.
anybody can get a certification, but they never ask you, do you like children? I mean, this
right.
Montessori
right, exactly.
school I was working, they were so geared because these parents had, I mean, these, like two parents, medical doctors and nurses and veterinarians, they were about getting as much money out of the parents' pockets as they could. I said, just because that's your agenda, I'm not going to make it mine. I'm here for my calling is higher than that.
Right,
and I'm not going to. I said I'm not going to make a promise to the parents while I'm trying to pick their pockets. And so we went around about that, and I called my principal. I said, I was the only one there without any children. Me and the other, except for the lady who was next to me, and because they didn't have anybody, she would call them out. They didn't bother her because they didn't have anybody to teach upper elementary. But I would stand up to them like, "Are you kidding me? You telling me to tell them? You know, they interrupted my class all day." I'm like, "No," I said. "If I don't stand up for these children, who will?" I said, "I'm responsible for them. I'm not. You know, you're talking about they have ADHD. You all have ADHD. Stay out of my classroom. You know, put it out.
I got OCD." I got OCD.
Yeah.
Don't come in my house. Don't come in my house and think it's not spotless. If I see a shoe mark on the floor, I'm bleaching. Okay, I got OCD on Facebook. Don't mess with my authors because I'm coming at you. Like, everybody got something wrong with them. I'm a domestic violence survivor. Like, we all got something that we have dealt with. But the problem is it's our kids. It's the next
mm-hmm.
generation we got to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I get so upset. It's these kids. And, Rob, you know how I be on my domestic violence show. You know how I be on my incarcerated and incorporated show. It's about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the kids. So now we got these kids out there, and let me tell you about Nora, because this is something I got to talk about. And see, this is why y'all couldn't cancel the show tonight, because you knew my mouth was going to get on here. But let's talk about Newark. Talk about my boys in Newark. It's not these kids is getting a hold of guns. Okay, now OGs to the street. Double OGs, triple OGs, three stars. You already know how we roll. But when we did shit back in the day, it was about we getting back at somebody for doing something to somebody, but there was a reason for it because we saw it, we witnessed it, whatever, or we was a part of it. These little kids, 12, 13, 14, 15, getting a hold of a gun, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, they get their finger on that trigger. They looking at the gun, and they get trigger happy. They want to feel it, so they shoot. Now they're trigger happy. Now they just going killing anything and everybody walking just to say they did something, put the teardrop on their eye, you know, put the tattoos on them and everything. What the hell? You 14 years old. 14 years old and shot a four-year-old child on her grandmother's porch. Eating ice cream. She ain't did nothing to you. But you just said, oh, well, she cute. Bam. All the way down the block. So now, this little girl is dead. This little girl is dead. This little boy, 14, looking at life at 14 years old.
Right. So probably get put in prison in the adult population, treated as an adult.
Exactly.
When he's still a child.
And he gonna become somebody's bitch.
Uh-huh.
Like they watch Beyond Scared Straight. You see them little heifers and them on that show. I'm like, yo, y'all need to go to Lock Up Raw that we watch on Saturday nights and marathon.
Watch that
and see what the real truth is. Talk to us. We'll tell you. Like I said, I'm blessed. I never did state or federal time or no type of anything but county time. But I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for these little boys going into the jail now because, like you said, the streets don't love you back.
You know, and we must definitely keep getting that point across, you know what I mean, by any means necessary, because we have to help save the ones that want to be saved, and the ones that want to perish, we have to let them perish, you know. So that's just really the bottom line of life, you know. The ones that want to let hands go, you know, we have to just let that be, and we have to concentrate on the ones that's following us, you know what I mean, all the way to the gate. So that is where my whole mentality at it in life, period.
Right. And we can't change everybody at one time, but little by little and starting in our own communities and different places, I mean, we can do something in our community. You know, I might not be able to go out there and touch another community just yet, but, you know, start at home and then work your way out, and you know, and networking with people. Obviously, that's something that we can all do. Is, you know, get out there and talk. But education and talking to these kids, you know, just going out and talking to them is a start. Letting them know that there's people out here that do care about them. There's, you know, a lot of these kids don't feel that there's anyone there for them, but they're homies on the street. And you know, we got to let them know. You know, all they want to be is loved and cared for, just like all of us.
Amen.
And you know, they need to know that you know, just because you're a gangbanger or a gangster or whatever, you know, we still love you. We still know that there's better things out here for you. You know, let us show you some of these things you can do. Or, you know, just to take some of these kids, you know, that they're very talented, but they need somebody to tell them, you're really good at this. Why don't you work on it? Or, you know, why don't, you know, just one little thing can change somebody's life. And it's by complimenting them and giving them that, you know, caring about them. And I tell you, that right there can change your whole life. Somebody, knowing that somebody's there caring about you and rooting you on, that can change everything.
You Ain't Never Lied. And you want to know something? When the book Precious came out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Oh, Lord. Let me hold it. Can you extend your show another 5 hours? Can you extend your show another 5 hours? Because that's how long I'll be on. But when that book came out and I read it, I just sat here in shock, like, are you serious? And then when the movie came out, nobody would take me to the movies, would let me go see the movie, blocked me. They literally had my name on block list from that movie. So when I called Norca, I was like, Sal, what y'all doing? They was like, no, you can't see that movie. I said, why? He said, you had a hard enough time with that book. So guess what? If you see the movie, we're not bailing you out tonight. I said, is that like that? He said, yeah, I never saw the movie. And it's on demand now and everything else. And everybody like, no, block that. She can't see that movie.
You haven't seen it?
Nope. I've not seen the movie. I read the book, and that was hard enough for me to get through because I would read three pages and be crying.
The movie was a good movie. But the thing is, you know, now that people have seen that movie, wake up and realize that there are hundreds of thousands of girls out there going through the same thing that needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
They're exploited,
exactly.
They're used, they're given drugs, they're taken advantage of, and it needs to stop. And movies like that are waking people up going, oh my God, I didn't, you know, come on, it's happening out there. Just like people are getting shot, people are using and selling drugs. Wake up, people. Don't just stay in your little house and hide your life away. There's real things going on out here, and your kids know about it, whether you think they do or not. And your kids are friends with those kids, whether you think they are or not. So wake up.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is what my topic is going to be for Friday night, but we're going to talk about it tonight, because why is it white people equal white trailer park trash? Trailer park trash. Black people equals welfare trash. What the hell? What the hell is everybody stereotyping? Look, you know I'm going on a roll with this one. Like, for real. And then you look at the households. It ain't different in anybody's household. It's all the same. We all bleed the same. We all live the same. We all eat the same.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so stereotyped. And then you got to the book about Precious. Like, I'm literally standing here shaking again for the third time tonight. Y'all made me do this with madness. But, okay, you looking at all this in the black family. Okay, let's talk about the white people. Let's talk about the white people. You don't have no black serial killers. They in the white world. You don't have nobody filling up babies in Targets. Oh, wait, that's in the white world, too. Okay. Now, best believe you go in the hood, let somebody touch a child. Let somebody touch a child that is not speaking. Like, I'm talking about on the streets. I mean, whatever goes on in the house, you already know. Whatever goes on in the house in the white world, you already know. Them kids, look, we can talk about Eddie Long. We can talk about everything all day, every day, every day. Family is the same. Everybody got skeletons in the closet, and they need to stop saying, well, this is white, this is black, this is that. No, motherfuckers, it's the world.
Exactly.
Like, for real.
We have more things that are the same than we do different.
Thank you.
You know, we all have one head, two eyes, one nose, one mouth, two legs, two arms, hopefully, unless you've been in an accident or something.
Hey, Rob. Rob, what color is your blood?
Huh?
What color is your blood?
Oh, red, the same.
Oh,
red
mine too.
In the world.
So what the hell's the difference?
It's a mentality. It's a mentality out here.
The individual you are.
I think afraid to get to know something that's a little different than them, maybe. But, you know, how many shades of brown are there? How many shades of black are there? How many shades of white is there? Come on, you know?
I call myself light-skinned.
It's not the color of your skin. It's not the race. It's not your religion. It's not. Mm-hmm. We're all people. We're all here trying to do the same thing, and that's live a decent life and get through it. And people are, you know, afraid maybe to find out a little bit more about somebody else because I don't know why. Why are you afraid? You know, Rob and I'm going to tell you this, and you might laugh. You probably will laugh. You know, I'm white. Rob's black. We come from totally different backgrounds. But we're one now because we have the same goals and same things in common, you know, that we want to achieve. And we sit here sometimes and crack ourselves up and laugh as hard as we can about some of our differences that I, like, and I'm not even going to say, but some that maybe I didn't know black people did. And him, something that he didn't know that white people did or didn't do, you know, and we would sit here just laughing about it, you know, because it's something so simple, but yet we lived two different lives and we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hilarious. We make ourselves laugh all the time doing stuff like that, you know, and it's so fun to get to know how other people live. What's
Lucinda.
Wrong with me knowing how other people live?
Lucinda, are you serious? You want to hear something that they talk about white people? She won't be telling you. They say, look, they say that we smell like, what, bologna, what, wet dog when we get out the shower, all this stuff. And I'm sitting there looking at my boys. They was like, Lisa, you don't never smell like none but vanilla when you come out the shower. And then on top of it, all white girls supposed to take an anal. Well, I got a tattoo over my ass. I really got a tattoo that says exit only. They was like, what the hell is wrong with you? I said, I'm a different breed. But, yeah, there's rumors about all of us. And the whole thing is we can all laugh about it and we all joke about it. But at the end of the day, we still all the same. And
exactly.
Like you said, like, what the hell do people really think? Who is the judge? There's only one judge, and that's God. And he don't judge us.
Right.
He don't judge us. He lead us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I sit back, and I look at some of these people that I'm in the hood with, like, are you serious? Really? Really serious? Like, you did what? Like, I can tell you about crackheads that got fucked by dogs for a rock, sitting in the alleyway looking like, oh, hell no, I'm going upstairs. Like, and this was somebody's mama that their son saw that happen. Now, how you think that boy went to school the next day? And this, Yolanda, when I bring you in on this, because do you think that little boy was thinking smart the next day in school?
Right. Yeah, you know,
but the mama
acted
like it's okay.
Yeah.
The mama acted like it was okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, and just like Lucinda made a good point, you can't save everybody in that sense, but if you can reach one person and believe, you know, every pebble makes a ripple in the brook, you know, and sometimes the problem, and, you know, Ted Turner even said his father told him to choose goals that are bigger than your lifetime, you know, pick. And that's something with kids, but I tell you, you have to start one at a time and from the house like you did with yours. And, you know, again, don't stop talking because, you know, you say you got a mouth for a reason, you know, and don't stop talking to them. They need to hear it real. They need to hear it real like that. You know, I was teasing somebody the other day. Well, I'm talking about my art teacher. We talk about everything, too. And she said, and you find out that a lot of people are the same. She said, well, you know, we were born here. We didn't have a lot of money. I said, we didn't either. I said, I didn't know what to call myself. My parents were really hung up on race or whatever. We knew what we looked like. I said, but until I heard Jeff Foxworthy, then I figured out, oh, we were rednecks because we had everything was taped up and broke. I said, we had cars parked in the yard. I told her, Mom, we're rednecks. She goes, you're not a redneck. I said, yes, we are. I said, remember when we had to turn take the plies and turn the TV? I said, that was us. We didn't have suitcases. We packed everything in bags when we went to see Grandma and Grandpa. So that was us.
You know what? You got the Force Flex bags out and went on the bus. Stop playing. You know how we do. My nephew coming down here from New York the same way. Like, my sister said, I'm going to pack your nephew up in the Force Flex bags, pack all his stuff, and send him on the bus. His room waiting. He called me. He said, Titi, I said, what's up, baby? He said, Mommy really did pack my stuff in the bag. He went to Walmart. But, yo, on something you said, Yolanda, on something real, you can't save everybody. But you know what? My grandmother, before she died, oh, God, RIP, Mama. Love my grandmother to death 15 years later. But something she said to me before she died, she said, Lisa, and she took my hand, she said, you can't save everybody. You can't save the world, baby girl. And I looked at her, I said, Grandma, I'm going to die trying. She said, Lisa, yes, you will. And I will till the day I die. I'll be bringing domestic violence victims into my house. I'll be bringing strays that I don't know into my house, help them get a job, get to whatever I got to do. Because best believe, just like Robin Lucinda, we real. We real in the game. And that's what, if just like you said, if we save one person, just one. Just one.
And yeah, you know, it's so funny. Everybody, you think that you may not have a purpose. See, when you're talking about friends, it's one of these people that made friends with me was a friend of a friend, a student that I taught that he had just gotten out of jail. And he said, why? And I don't know why I guess something in him maybe felt like he could talk to me or whatever. And he was off talking like you. You know, he talked real like Rob, but he just doesn't know. See, God is so good that my best friend that I told you that passed, you know, right before my dad, one week while we got along, he used to curse like a sailor. And my mom said, why do you laugh at that boy when he cursed like that? See, my dad used to curse like that, and we used to fall out laugh. That makes me laugh. And like when Rob gets real on the show, like when that guy was running away last week, and Rob said, what the F is he doing? I was just dying laughing. That cracks me up. And so this little guy that wanted to be friends with, he said, why do you laugh every time I say stuff like that? I said, you just don't know. My best friend, that was half his conversation. That was just natural to him. He rolled out F's and this and that. Like it was, you know, like he was saying, pass the bread. I said, that doesn't bother me. You know, like he was saying, pass the milk. Because, you know, he would go to the store and he would just lip to somebody. And I'm like, why do you have to say it? You know, that's just the way I talk, you know. And he used to crack me up. He said, why do you start laughing every time I try to tell you a story? I said, well, you just don't know how funny that sounds to me. And so, you know, Kurt, like when people get on rants like that, that just trips me out because, see, that way I know you, to me, that's your realness, and it doesn't offend me at all. See, when you know who God is, there's not much people can do to offend you. So that doesn't offend me at all, you know? That just tickled me because I just love when Rob gets real because I'm like, uh-oh, somebody's going to get it now.
Oh, man. I appreciate it.
And that's,
you know,
that's the name of his TV show that he started 14 years ago, Keep It Real. Keep It Real show.
Yeah.
Exactly. Definitely.
Sometimes you have to do that. And my mom did, too. That was another thing.
See that.
Yeah, you know, we have about 7 more minutes, and just before we get to the end here, I want to go ahead and just read a little paragraph here about our guest that we have for next week, and her name is Miss Monica Day, and I'm going to read just this little paragraph here from her bio. It says, Day was raped at a church convention at age 11, a teenage runaway, and in her first abusive relationship at age 13. Had choices, and hanging with the wrong crowd led Day to a youth detention facility and classified as a juvenile delinquent by the age of 14. She was incarcerated for 2 years. After her release from the youth detention facility, Day was still searching to fulfill the void of emptiness that she carried in her spirit since the beginning of her abusive journey. In search of love and acceptance, she found herself wrapped in the arms of another abusive man at the age of 17. How did she survive? Well, Day shares her story and her testimony that God and her, with her gift of poetry, and through poetry she captures all generations and gives hope to those facing the same obstacles she has overcome. So she does a lot of poetry and writing now. And so she is going to be our guest for next Wednesday. You know, I'm sure she has an awesome testimony and story of surviving, you know, the sexual abuse and domestic violence, as well as, you know, her time being incarcerated. So we're glad that she's been able to turn her life around and you know, welcome her and let everybody know next Wednesday night to join us and hear her story and tune in and join us.
Sounds good, you know, and I just want to thank everybody for everybody's condolence and everything for my father's passing. And, you know, I just wanted to say thank everybody for their kind words and support. And now, you know, we're just going to keep moving forward and keep delivering the message and letting people know that the streets definitely don't love you back. And also, if you ain't got a copy of that, make sure you log on to our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com. And my new book is out, Never Hit a Woman. Make sure you get that in your library. And upcoming information on our movement page, you'll be able to review a lot of my father's history on the Streets Don't Love You Back movement page as well. So go to our page, and my missus is putting that page together, you know, as we speak, and some information is already there. So if you would like to learn more about my father, just please log on there, and information is available. And thank you again.
Right. And we thank Yolanda and Lisa for always being our support and always calling in. We have to call you our regulars, and glad that you guys do join with us. We learned a lot from you as well, and you know, we're really happy to be working with you and networking with you, and you know, look forward
Rob,
to being able
Lucinda,
to come.
I got a question. Yeah. You know, I got to have a question in the last 5 minutes. Where can I order shirts with the mission statements? Because I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to call the schools, I'm going to call the principal back that BDWAC, and I'm going to go up there and speak myself. But I want to know,
you
got to
log on to our site, log on to the movement site, and go to our store page.
Can you inbox it to me?
Yeah, my missus inboxed it. Yeah, you got our movement page, don't you?
I got so many pages, you know what I'm saying? I'd rather Lucinda go ahead and just
send me the link.
Yeah, send me the link, and then I could order them and bring them to the school.
You can order all
and
our
like,
stuff on our store page, yeah, and then start promoting our store page, too, for us on your links. Yeah,
all you got to do is link it to me. You already know how I do. You already know how I do with y'all.
Yeah, so people can start going to our store. And because basically what we're doing now is with the Never Hit a Woman book, you know, I'm just doing that all online right now to build that online base all the way up. You know what I mean? Because once again, thank you, Ms. Yolanda, for ordering both books, Never Hit a Woman and
Thank you, Yolanda.
And,
you're welcome.
Like I said, it's a great thing, and me and the missus just pumping up the online thing, because that's truly the way of the world right now, you know. And then eventually other things will continue to take place too, but we want people to go to our store page and log on and see all the things that we have there, and let's just start getting involved with that and the movement itself as well to educate these kids too, you know. So with that being said and done, I'll pass the mic back to the missus. And thank you, Miss Lisa, for that as well.
Right, and I'll send you that information, Lisa, as soon as we get off air tonight. And thank you, Yolanda, and hopefully we'll hear from you guys again next week. We're going to go ahead and go out right now. We have about a minute left, and we're going to go out tonight with a special song called Guide and Protect Us.
Amen.
Everyone have a wonderful week, and we'll see you back next Wednesday night. Remember,
thank you, too.
Love you back.
Rob, we love you.
All right, thank you.
Definitely. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you.
Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care, I say, Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray. Yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way. Lord, how precious your love and your grace and your counting days. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, now I shall repent. Yeah, with all of my strength I will find within iron fist. Lord, the freedoms of hate and the sea today don't exist. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. With enemies close all around, I will call your name. Yeah, and slaughter the weak, you quickly with no thought or shame. Lord, for my heart is firm in your hands, so I'm no disgrace. No, I'll hail up your name every day with a smiling face. Boy, I never can give enough praise to your tenderness. Lord, to be in your infinite grace is my happiness. Yeah, no matter the time or the place, you're omnipotent. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, so I shall repent. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. Yeah, we tried the long rocky road. The buffalo soldier fights the power, freedom, war. The last we left on the throne. The conquering disciples from your congregation. Yeah. Collect your security. We build a better nation. Time besides the unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war. But brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering through so much petty things, we're crumbling our destiny. But we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love. So I will always try to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.